Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Elizabeth Best.
That's me.
Movies, TV, they love to fall back onto romance cliches.
Oh, right? They do. Yes, they love a good cliche.
What, any particular ones in movies, films, TV that you can't stand? About
crying
love?
In the rain.
Crying
I mean,
in the
not
rain.
Crying in the rain. Kissing in the rain.
Kissing
that's what
in
I mean.
The
kissing
rain.
In the rain. No one wants to kiss in the rain.
Is that so?
It's cold and it's annoying. And they're just like, oh, it's raining, but I'm so swept up in this moment that I'm not noticing that I'm completely fucking soggy.
Because if you have a if you ever have a shower with someone, you don't really kiss them under the direct stream.
I mean,
of the
but
shower.
That's sexy because you're both naked. But when you've got clothes on and they're getting sodden and weighty with rain and your hair's getting all shit, considering you probably spent some time doing it, like it's just not my idea of, I'm like, let's like run through the rain and get undercover and then kiss, because that's a cliche I can get on board with. But just like kissing in the rain is unrealistic.
Yes, it looks nice, but the having wet clothes on your body when you're still out of your abode, out and about in the world.
And on movies, they dry you off and give you a new costume. But if you're in the real life, you have to either go to dinner and sit in a puddle or like go home. And well, I guess you've got an excuse to take clothes off then, but that depends if you want that excuse. I don't know. What about you?
Running through an airport.
Oh, why would, security would tackle you in
a
heartbeat.
In a post 9/11 world, that's not on. You can't run through an airport.
Plus
vaulting
these
over.
Days you're in masks in an airport, and that's
dodging
just not good for respiration.
Dodging past security, you're getting, that's 7 years in prison, I reckon, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
So, yes, a couple of movie cliches where the romance it sort of presents nicely, but underneath.
I'm going to post this in the group. I want
to
know what other
there
romantic
cliches
people
have the shits with. There has to be more out in
the
world, right?
With.
Let us know your bugbears about movie, TV show, romance cliches.
This
about sex, romance, dating, marriage, any. We'll take all.
This is Ghost of Boyfriends Past. Hello. I'm Liz Best.
And I'm Tom Harris. Hello one and hello all.
Hello everybody. Today we have a guest because
yes.
It's a main episode. So this morning we would like to welcome Sebastian.
Hello Sebastian, come on down.
Now we're going to call you Seb because Sebastian's a really long name.
Yes,
but we just wanted
space.
To, you know, give you the full name experience right up the top.
I appreciate it. Before we get into things,
yes.
Can I throw in my horrible
please
movie thing?
Do.
Please, please.
Now, can I just point out that Seb actually hosted a podcast called, I say hosted because it's on hiatus.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
little pause.
Called Second Takes. It's a movie podcast. So I feel like your opinion would be quite expert.
Mm. Shockingly, we didn't watch too many like romantic comedies or anything throughout it. It's a movie podcast.
Yeah.
Like mostly Marvel and crap.
But, I mean, sure.
The thing that always irritates me is when a character has just been an awful, awful partner the entire movie, but they have that one grand gesture and the audience have to be like, oh, they're not so bad.
Yes.
And they just forget
right.
about like,
yes.
history
yes.
of abuse or anything.
Like
yeah, yes.
that movie that I was like, I'm going to love this, but the Happiest Season. Did you see
no,
that?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It was like a Christmas movie where Kristen Stewart and I can't remember the name of the actress who plays her girlfriend, but her girlfriend was a complete asshole
right.
to her. Yeah. Like literally keeping her closeted from her family her entire weekend, like hanging out with the ex-boyfriend because the mum wants to. And then all of a sudden she's like, but I love you. And I'm like, but you've been a garbage human
yes.
to her for the whole movie.
Gold star for you
so
for that point, Sebastian.
Angry. I'm
very
sorry,
good.
But a grand gesture is gaslighting in the highest form. Like
they do
love
it in
bombing.
Bad dad films
yep.
as well, like Liar Liar, how he's just an awful, awful yes. human being. Yes. But at the very end, he's like, hey, I'm here for my son. It's like, yeah, cool. Your son's 10. It's been 10 years of
ten
not being there for him. But you did that one thing. And it's like,
he came to one baseball game. Good on you. Gold star, my friend. Gold star.
Excellent. Well, great point and good introduction to the show, Seb. Well, welcome. welcome aboard. Thank you for coming. Seb's here to share stories, or just one story, about love, dating, romance, etc. gone by. That's the brief of this show. It does sound like on the surface that Liz and I just like having a sticky beak in someone else's dirty laundry.
Sometimes,
but
I do.
Yes.
But
we acknowledge
there's
that's part
a greater
of it.
Purpose.
Yes. We seek to hear, not only hear stories from literally everybody on the planet, if we'll have them, but we like to learn from them. What are the weird? It does get quite kumbaya at the end. So we're not just the shallow podcast that you think we are. A little bit of depth.
We got some rules though. Oh,
yes,
the rules.
Yes, we do have some rules. Okay. New readers to the show will like to know that. Our guests will use aliases. Sorry,
aliases
for the people they're talking
they have an
about
alibi
today.
For the yes, murder that they committed at the end of the second story.
Here in Love Court. Aliases for the people you're going to talk about today, Seb. And that helps us with rule two, so that people that piece together who our guest is today and who they end up talking about. No doxing, please. No sharing of private
information. Don't be a
dick.
We're not here to expose anyone. We're here to tell our own stories and learn from them and
That's
what
right.
we learn from
That's
them.
That's not the spirit of the show.
And my favorite rule, no threats on mic.
Yes, please.
Good.
Off mic, fine.
I wasn't planning on making any threats.
But now they're
Sometimes
now they're
people are just like, oh, that fucker, you know, yeah. I don't know. They might feel like that, but they've never said it on this show because we have a rule.
Yes, that's right.
I guess with the stories I'm going to be sharing, the important thing to keep in mind, I guess on my front, is they are literal human beings on the other end of that
exactly.
story.
Exactly. Yes.
And whether or not I'm highlighting the ups or the downs of their stories, they're not maliciously evil people
See,
going about doing things
you get
like
it.
Everyone. Yeah. I'm sure there's stories out there that people could tell. They'd come on the same show and maybe talk about me. I hope not, but like, I don't know.
Yeah. And like, look. It's a learning experience because that's what we do here.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Seb, where are we starting for first story?
I guess I'll give a really brief background because this story that I have, well, the stories that I have take place within a year and a half time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I guess almost 2 years ago came out of a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been with that partner for about 10 years, married for a little portion of that. And then hit single life after pretty much not being single from being like 20. So,
and that's terrifying because the dating landscape has completely changed.
Sure has. It sure has. So one of my stories goes into like my first proper relationship outside of the marriage, and then like what I kind of call like the year of Tinder, which I'm sure you've had just
everyone
so
has
much
a year of Tinder.
Yeah.
Except Tom. Tom's like, nope. year of Tinder for me.
No, thank you.
That's good.
I politely declined the offer.
I did it. And then I went, much regret.
I'll signpost it up front as well. My first story is probably the heaviest of them all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other ones are all, I think, personally, kind of funny.
Okay.
Like, right, they're the ones I enjoy telling because I normally get a bit of a laugh out of people. This first one is very much not that. And I assume you guys put like content warnings on
stuff.
Yeah,
we put content warnings in the show notes.
So readers, right there is some meat and vegetables that you have to eat at the beginning of the podcast.
Before
you
can lick the icing off the cake at the end.
It's good for you. You need the nutrients, you need the roughage, and then we'll have some sugary dessert.
We promise you can have dessert afterwards.
Guys, the sweets after the story, delicious. Great. Yep.
Yep. So come on. Get eating, everybody. Right, take us away, Seb.
All right, so I started dating this girl pretty soon after the marriage ended. It was within like a month or two. We actually met at Christmas on a Christmas party, which my friends call it Christmas for Orphans, where effectively they just have all their friends who either don't want to spend Christmas night with their families or don't
Can't.
Have. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah. So I went there. I do it every year, even though I have like a family that I can see. I normally just like, no, would you lunch? Because I have Christmas for Orphans at
you
night.
You get double Christmas.
Christmas. And it's, I love it, but it's just, you know, a couple of drinks, normally a bonfire, which is ridiculous because it's the middle of summer here. But, you know, met this girl there and she was lovely. And we started talking the next day, ended up going on a couple of dates, and we actually ended up started dating.
Mm-hmm.
That's all fine. That's pretty, your stock standard. You meet someone, you get along, whatever. The relationship itself really started to take more of a dark turn about 3 months in. So about the halfway point, because we ended up lasting for about 6 months by the end of it. I haven't even used a pseudonym here. I was just going to avoid using any name altogether. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
Please.
Unfortunately, in this case, this particular person did suffer from a couple of different mental illnesses, which is 100% okay. Like, everyone goes through their struggles.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, it was sort of a learning experience of how to be there for somebody with certain things going on. I mean, they're kind of stock standard, like, you know, anxiety, depression, that sort of thing. This person did also suffer from a form of bipolar disorder. I can't remember which one because, honestly, it's about a year ago now. Yeah. And it's all kind of white noise.
That's okay.
And borderline personality disorder, which was probably the most interesting one, I guess, from my end as a partner to be around. Are you guys terribly familiar with how BPD works?
Little bit.
I wouldn't feel comfortable giving the dictionary definition of it. But yes, a little bit covers my answer.
I guess in a practical sense for what it was like to, I guess, be around it. And, of course, it can be different for any person that has it. There's not a stock standard. This is what it is. But she would have heightened reactions, whether positive or negative, to anything.
Mm.
So imagine I came into the studio today and I bought you all a latte each.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow, thanks, Seb. That might make you from a 4 out of 10 to maybe feeling at a 6 out of 10. Mm. You know, you're like, oh, my day is slightly better now. For her, it would be a 10.
Right.
To the same point of if I was running late from work and I'd be home half an hour later, what would normally bring you down to that 5 or 4 out of 10 drops you down to a 1. So everything was... I say everything. A lot of things were carried to the extreme by no fault of her own, of course, but that's just, I guess, how the condition affected her.
Yeah.
And that would lead to just, I guess, violent mood changes in a sense. Like something would happen and suddenly they'd just be crying or they'd start screaming. And these episodes could last between like 5 minutes to half an hour. And that was, I guess, more of an interesting thing of just existing around that when I normally am pretty okay with just keeping my emotions in check.
Right.
But having to, I guess, be there in that sense where I'm not used to. I can understand on an intellectual level how this is happening, but on an emotional level, I have no connection to those sort of changes in emotion. Yeah,
and you'd be having to regulate a lot of your, I say, behavior in quote marks because it's not really, yeah, but like have to regulate a lot of your reactions and kind of temper yourself to fit in with what you anticipate might be coming.
Exactly, yeah. And these things could be, like I said, little bursts here or there. But there was on the night of my 30th birthday, I'd gone out for drinks with my friends. She was, of course, invited, but actually lost her license. So she couldn't come out because, you know, when you go to the nightclubs, they scan your licenses. Yeah. So she ended up staying at my place and just chilling and watching movies with my dogs, which is lovely because I'll be home in a few hours. And I started getting messages from her and they started turning to the point that it came across that she was going to kill my dogs.
Oh, and that's not good.
So I ended up after like the first 45 minutes to an hour of my birthday leaving because I had to go home because honestly, I was just terrified for my dogs.
Yeah.
Got home and she had gone through like literally my entire liquor cabinet. Like there was nothing left, which is fine. Like I didn't even drink that much, but it was just like a mess.
Put someone into a different state.
Yeah, absolutely. There were times like I come home and like my bathroom would be covered in blood from like self-harm attempts and she'd be chilling out, acting like nothing had happened, but obviously leaving signs there at the same time. So it would be more of a case of you should never directly communicate this had occurred. It was quite literally coming home and seeing like the aftermath.
Right.
It was all in all a pretty awful situation, I guess. But that's, like I said, not her fault or anything like that.
And it's really hard when you care about the person, like, especially in a romantic sense, to be like, I want to help you, but I don't know how.
And, you know, you try to get attempts of help, like, you know, do you want to seek support here or there, or do you need to talk to your family, stuff like that, and the person not engaging with those sorts of things. We had a couple of times we'd actually gone to the emergency room because she had hurt herself in such a way that we actually needed to get proper medical attention. And I'm not sure if you guys know, the mental health care in public hospitals is probably not the best.
Yes.
No.
And a lot of the cases ended with quite literally, well, we're sending her back into your care. I didn't even work from home at this point.
Yeah.
So they're saying, can you just be around this person 24/7? And in a sense of like, I actually have to work to keep the house that I'm staying in.
Yeah.
But there was just, I guess, no resources on Queensland Health's side in that regard. It also, outside of this, I the relationship itself was a bit of a weird one, like regardless of sort of the mental health situation there. I don't think this is related at all. I think this is just like personal beliefs, but she was like an avid believer in ghosts.
Right.
And she would move things around the house and then try and convince me that she didn't do it and that there was something else going on.
I wonder whether she was actually...
Normal activity, sorry.
Like
that's all it is.
I wonder whether it was like a conscious thing or she actually just was not... Well, she was in a manic or state when she did it and didn't actually remember.
I mean, who knows? I have no idea. Yeah.
But it is a curious speed bump to have hove into view. It's an odd one.
I do believe in ghosts.
No, that's fine. I'll put it in the cards. I'm full atheist, but I don't pretend like I know the answer either.
Like, I'm an atheist as well, but I have experienced some things that you cannot explain, which I shall get into. I don't really know if I'll get into it in another episode because it's not romantic.
All the new ghosts? Where are the new ghosts haunting new buildings that were built 10 years ago? Where they're all ghosts are hundreds of years old. Where are the new ones, huh?
Well, the ghosts that I've
people in the 17th century had things to come back, like unfinished work? Fuck off.
Now they've all just worked to death. They had nothing to live for in the first place. Right,
leave me alone. I'm done. I'm dying.
Let me rest.
Interesting.
So you have a ghost story? Is he going to take this chance? When is it going to come up again?
Am I going to take this chance? Look, producer Dom, we've got Dom on producer today because Zane's got a headache. Producer Dom has just pulled down their microphone.
Oh, I just wanted to say, hey, remember how we've got a very limited recording time today?
Yeah.
That's all I was going to say. It's just the producer here doing the producer stuff.
Okay, fine. I won't go on the tangent, but I will post my little ghost story in the Ghost of Boyfriends Past.
I mean, that sounds like a bonus episode sort of thing.
There we go. Bonus episode, literal ghost stories on Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. Because it's tangentially appropriate, but not for this story. Okay, you continue with your story about how she was convincing you that ghosts were real.
No, she was trying to convince me. Like I said, I'm pretty standard, well, say standard, I'm pretty staunch with my beliefs here, but my family is not. So she actually got my sister involved in this. Now, my sister and this girl, they are both... They collect crystals. They charge them in the moonlight.
Yes.
My girlfriend at the time actually self-identified as a witch, which for me is like, as an atheist, I'm like, man, whatever. Just do what you like.
You do you.
I think this is nonsense, but also I don't care. You're not hurting anyone.
Exactly.
So like I said, if she was Catholic versus a witch for me, it's all the same.
As long as they're not trying to convert you to whatever it is that they're doing, do it.
You say that I did have... received several requests from her, which I will say I did not comply with, for a sample of blood and semen for a locket that she could wear.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm like, and you think like, oh, voodoo stuff. No, for me, it's like, that's too much like DNA.
That's crime. I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Also for me, not slightly romantic. That's just...
No, it's not hygienic either.
She would do like little spell jars and I go for like long drives and she'd give me like a particular rock to put in my pocket. Like this is all nonsense to me, but also there's no harm in taking a rock.
Yeah, that when it's like a rock and not blood and semen, I'm like, because like, you know, I'm of the opinion that it can't hurt unless it's placed somewhere where it's going to cut you or scratch you.
Yes.
Like, you know, if it brings me luck, hooray. If it doesn't, someone's just done a nice thing because they're thinking about me.
Exactly. And I took the rock for the drive. I took that as you just care that I have a safe trip.
Yes.
Like that's a lovely thing.
Yes.
That's no problem. It's for me, it's like you could have handed me anything and it would have meant just as much. But the rock was important to you and that's okay.
And like, so she got... Your sister involved.
My sister was already involved in that sort of stuff. Like she was like, is it tarot cards and readings?
She was easy to hook.
Hook onto ghosts.
They're as bad as each other in that sense that they were both waiting for engagement on that topic and they've just kind of collided.
Yep.
So that's where I'll probably end that one. There's a bit more, but I don't really want to go into it. So we'll leave that.
Can I just quickly ask when it ended, was it you that ended that one?
No, actually it wasn't. And effectively, I probably should have said this. I kind of gotten to a point where about 3 months in, I was pretty well done with it. But because she had so many attempts on herself, I was sort of like, I frankly don't want her to kill herself. And not that I would ever think me dumping someone would make you worth that.
No, but
it's like she was in such an emotionally fragile state that I was like, oh no, I'm stuck. So when you're in a relationship that you don't want to be in, obviously things aren't, you know, hitting on 10. And I think over that like remaining 3 months, we just sort of wound down. And then when she was like, hey, I think we should break up, I was like, fuck yes, we should absolutely yes, break up.
Absolutely.
Right? I actually thought, like, hell yeah, she's made the call. Yes. She'll be behind this. She'll be awesome. And then the day after, I get a call from my sister being like, hey, so she took like 3 boxes of Panadols in the hospital. Shit, and I'm like, she was okay. Obviously, she's fine now. She's seeing someone else and very well, I think, from what I understand.
Good, good.
But it was like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I thought, like, when she had made the choice to end it, I thought, like, with that empowerment, doing it, all, you know, all systems go. But end up being the same kind of thing I was worried about to begin with. But I mean, like I said, she's good now, so that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yes. It's comforting in a way that the outcome was the same, like either way, you know.
I find that less comforting because I could have ended it 3 months earlier and it would have been the same outcome.
It is strange either way. You roll the dice, you end up with the same result.
But she is okay now, so I know that for a fact. So good. That's definitely better than what she could have been. I don't know.
She's moving objects around someone else's flat now.
Yes. I can only imagine.
So I'm going to make a producey call here, and I reckon that we should have this as a standalone episode because I think there are some things to chat about in the...
We promised dessert to our dear readers and there's being pulled away.
I know. Mum's being cranky mum today. But I just think that I'd like to spend more than a couple of seconds on the what we learned part of that podcast, if that's okay with you.
Amazing,
It's fair. Yeah. It's very fair. So I hope you understand and forgive us, readers, but there'll be sugary sweets in the future for you.
Yes, yes. And plus, you know, there's a mini-sode next week. We'll make you laugh then. Yeah, it's, but I think that it's important to address the mental health issues and what you can do as a partner to try and support the person, but not at a cost of yourself. So one of the things that I learned from this particular story is that you need to, it's a very fine line walking between looking after your own self-interest and making sure that somebody else is okay. And I think that that's when you need to get some kind of professional help or opinion for yourself, not for the other person, because if they're not willing to seek help, then there's not really much that you can do about it. But I think that you definitely need a professional opinion on how to extricate yourself from that to cause the least amount of harm to both yourself and the other person.
Mm. And on the flip side, if you are someone that has mental health problems of some description, figuring out how you broach what you need or want from your partner can be tricky. It can be weird to sit down with someone and say, hey, I feel like this sometimes and because of that, I need a response from you like this. But it is easier than you think. I've done it before in the past, and for weeks, months, you sort of over worry about it. You simmer on it, panicking about having to bring up, oh my God, if I bring up that I need this, then of course it's okay. But it's okay, baby bear. You're in a any decent, loving, committed relationship. Your partner will go, hey, that's okay. I understand that. And it can be a conversation where you two can work together against the one problem. So that would be, it's more advice, I suppose, rather than anything learned.
What did you learn from this particular relationship? And it can be nothing. That happens.
Actually, a couple of things. And some, I've been asked this before, like especially my dad's really big into, okay, but what was the lesson?
Yes. And oh, good.
That's just how we
tell your dad to come on the podcast. What was the lesson?
I guess firstly, and this is not the big lesson, but for me it was actually engage with your friends over these topics after it had all ended. Like there were when you feel sort of trapped in a relationship, like we've all had a good shower cry, right?
Yes.
Are you having one or two of those a week? And it gets to the point, like if you're doing that, something has to give.
Yes.
But after it had all ended, like my best friend was like, we had spoken about it and he's like, what the hell are you talking about? When did all this happen? Because I just never spoken to anyone about it because I'm like, and I'm handling my business.
Sometimes that you haven't shared this stuff.
But and he felt bad. I'm like, well, dude, how are you going to know?
Yeah.
Like, so I guess engage with just your friends in general because you can get really tunnel visioned on it. I guess this is going to sound like the worst lesson to learn because it sounds like an arrogant thing, but I still stand by it, is don't put up with more shit than it's worth putting up with. I had the same thing for like my marriage. My marriage should have ended 2 years before that it did, but I kept thinking, no, this can work, this can be fixed, this can work, and it's about putting, you know, bad, good work after bad sort of thing.
Yeah, the sunk cost fallacy of relationships. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I think it's important to just make sure that you're checking in with yourself and what you need. And if something is not serving you, then that's when it's time to reevaluate.
Yep.
And I don't mean serving you as in like if everything's not perfect for you, but if it's at a point where you're feeling worse than you are good,
yep,
then it's probably not worth continuing.
And it, I mean, I guess no, we're not going into the other stories today or anything.
I'm
going
to let you tell one.
One? Okay. But the big lesson for me was exactly like time is finite. If something's not working and you've given it a go, like legitimately, I would never say, oh, this isn't working, quit now. I'd say if it's not working, can it work? Okay, no, you've tried, end it. I took that into the next 12 months of my Tinder stuff, yes, because I found I got super, super picky. And I would argue none of these were really bad things to be picky over, but things that I know past Seb would have thought, oh, this is workable. And they're really not.
No.
So I do think I was able to take on from a combination from like how the marriage ended and how that relationship went to make those choices properly.
It really helps you drill down on what you want, doesn't it?
So you want one story.
If you can give me one quick one. And then we can either record straight after this or we can get you in another time. But yes, all right, okay, good.
This actually works chronologically as well, so this works in my head. Great. So the year of Tinder begins.
Yeah.
I had never been on Tinder prior to all this. There was like a week between, I said, when like the marriage ended to when I started dating this other girl, where mm-hmm. like I had Tinder but never really used it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was like, okay, what's this all about? Oh, it's hell. I get it.
Yes.
I'm in hell.
Yes.
And I ended up going on three lovely dates with this girl. She was actually really, really nice, genuinely a good person, very funny, all that. Once again, I must have a magnet on me. She's into the crystals and stuff. I don't know what about my personality seems to attract those people, but that's fine. Once again,
have
I don't
care. You still
care.
Got a crystal in your pocket from your sister? Because maybe that's it.
No, absolutely not. But something about me just seems to bring these people in, which is fine. Because like I said, I don't actually care. I just think it's like a funny trend.
Yeah.
So we had gone on three dates. And on the third date, we actually went to Boggo Road Jail for like one of the ghost tours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I could rant about how terrible
that was.
So you
went on a ghost tour when you don't believe in ghosts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
cool. I want to be spooked, but I was not spooked.
Yeah. I want to believe.
Exactly. I also didn't feel very well like educated from it either. Like I learned a couple of things, but it was... Anyway, that's
the heebie-jeebies from Boggo Road Jail.
Really? I felt nothing and I wanted to feel.
A jeebies.
So this will be a real quick one though, guys. We had gone on, it was good. It looked like we were about to approach like actually being official, like boyfriend, girlfriend, like it was there. And then she revealed that she was a flat earther.
Oh, no.
Which, and like I said, you believe in Jesus, cool man, have fun. You believe in rocks, dude, whatever. You want to throw people into volcanoes? Hey, that's your vibe. Oh, you've hit me now. Oh, you believe, like what?
Like you're super anti-science. Okay.
Oh, cool, yeah. So she was like, she wasn't anti-vax either, but she was like that hesitant bunch that was like, I'm going to get it when I'm forced to, but not a moment sooner. So I was like, okay, well, the point is you're getting it, right?
Chat to her about like, how can you believe this garbage?
About the earth? No. You'd be surprised how quickly I can disengage with the person when I'm like, oh no, you're crazy.
The switch is off. Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
She, like I said, wonderful, wonderful person. We still talk randomly every now and then. But like when that came through, I was like, oh my God, how
that's
is
like
this possible?
Incompatible with relationships,
no,
full stop.
Yeah, no good.
No.
No good.
No.
Gee whiz.
I would apologize to all the flat earthers out there, but I don't care. You're wrong. You're just wrong. Send the hate at me, flat earthers. Send it. Send it. I want it all. Thank you for that, Seb.
Yes,
I would love to record a couple of your more little funny stories at a future date, but I just thought, I feel like we need to give the first story that you had, it feels like it needed a moment. And I think that some people at home will be quite appreciative of that particular moment. And I think that if you've got any tips on how you've navigated a relationship in the past where somebody has had either physical or mental problems, mental health problems, not mental problems. because it's very, you know, people with mental health problems like me, because everybody has a little bit of something, I reckon, deserve love too. And I just think any tips that we can give on making a relationship work, and any tips if you've got, you know, any particular mental health issues that you would like to educate people on how best to respond and, you know, nurture you, then we'd love to hear them.
Yes, please. Send all of those and dating stories, short and long, send them through to ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. We'll collect all your thoughts. Responses to questions, if you have better information or help than Liz and I have provided.
Yeah, I feel I was just completely inarticulate then. My brain is not catching up with what I mean. But what I mean is we like learning stuff, and help us. That's what I mean. That's the long and short of it.
Otherwise, we thank you earnestly for listening once more. Share the show with someone that you like. Share the show with someone that you don't like. That way
you're
like, someone you like will be appreciative, or you can bother someone you don't like.
Yeah.
Rate and review the show. And if you want to jump on Facebook, we've got a little group there, Ghosts of Boyfriends Past Group Therapy.
We'll pop a lonk. I can't talk today.
We'll pop a lonk
there. Pop a lonk in the show notes. No, a link in the show notes was where I was going with that. I'm really tired. Really tired, you guys.
So as Elizabeth desperately signals for our producer to bring on the closing music, we'll just thank you and get out of here. I'm Tom. That's Elizabeth. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.